right now.
11LRNI.
Now the lights dim low. Soon we'll start the show.
Here comes LF Network.
Yeah.
Government Mule with a stupendous version of She Said, She Said. I think the story behind that is I think that the Beatles sometime in 66, because I think that's obviously a revolver. I think sometime in 66 or possibly late 65, they had encountered Peter Fonda at a house in one of the houses in the Hollywood Hills, and he had relayed an acid / near death experience that he had had, and I think it was just a near death experience that he had had, and he relayed that to the Beatles, and somehow that wound up turning into She Said, She Said, which is one of my favorite songs off of Revolver. Again, I'm big on that Help Revolver or Help Rubber Soul Revolver period. That's those three albums. I guess 65 to 66 is to me that's the microcosm for their advancement as far as the Beatles go. So that was Government Mule. Welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. I have not changed my name since last week. I have my beard went away. I shaved my beard, and there was a reason why I shaved my beard. Actually, I wouldn't have shaved it unless I had a reason, because I was actually enjoying the sad, broken look. Actually, as it turns out, I was required to go down to motor vehicles for a new driver. Or not, excuse me, I don't drive. I don't know, many of you don't know that about me. I don't drive. But a new state ID, and I figured the beard. I didn't know if I was going to keep the beard, and I thought the beard and having a beard is like a second look. The cops got a look, and they got a, you know, and it's like I didn't want any of that shit. I just want to look at the picture. That's the guy done, finished over. Because the less I am interacting with law enforcement, the better my life is, I can tell you that. So I decided to shave the beard just for the photo. I don't know whether I'm going to let it come back in, although I have not shaved. We'll have to see how that goes. I'm trying to think of, and it's interesting with motor vehicles, you know. I was all kind of psyched because they sent me this pamphlet, that I could get like the new enhanced ID, and that would like let me get on airplanes and get into certain government facilities. So I was kind of like jazzed on that. I was like, oh, all right. And they were saying if you get this, if you opt for it while you're renewing your standard ID, the period that you would be renewing, you would get it for free, because it would normally be another $26 or $27 on top of the regular ID cost. So I was like, oh, all right. So I went down there, and it turns out that I needed other stuff, the other documentation in order to present to them in order to get it with my my non-driver's ID. So I was like, oh, rats. So I think I may head down there. I probably have to pay the $30 for it, but I think I'll get the stuff together. I have most, if not all, of everything that required. It just would have meant a little bit of legwork. And I was like, oh, shit. You know, for some reason, I just thought I could go in there and I just go to, like, order the Big Mac, you know, just move up and not have to worry about, oop, moving the mic, and not have to worry about it. But they're like, no, you need this stuff, you know. And there was an Indian guy. It was pretty funny. I had an Indian guy who was processing me, as in Gandhi, not Tonto. And I said to him, you know, I just didn't think it through, you know, very much like my marriage. And he started laughing. He really enjoyed that joke, apparently. So I was already off on a good foot with the guy. Anytime you're dealing with bureaucracy or law enforcement or any sort of that, if you can kind of get it light, you're in good shape. You know, unless you're holding a smoking gun or a bloody knife, you know, you can kind of, a little bit, you know what I mean? It's social engineering, I guess, to one degree or another. And I have engaged in social engineering more than a few times over the course of my illustrious career. I guess it's hacking. It's really is what it is. It's hacking people. You're hacking people. So my ID should show up. I don't like the picture as much. You had to take it three times because I was actually thinking about it, you know. I like the last one better. I had a little goatee on it. I was like, you know, I look pretty, you know, less fatter than I do now. Although my weight is coming. It's fluctuating. I don't know what that new drug is doing to my weight. I have to figure that out. And it is the holidays, and I've been pretty much eating everything in sight. Short of, not having the vehicle readily available. I think most of you have followed the saga of the automobile. The Midwood Files standard issue automobile has been ailing. We've been eating less crap because we haven't been going out at like 4 o'clock in the morning or 3:30 in the morning to McDonald's or Wendy's, which is good. It's good news. I mean, you know, I get that. I'm like, okay, you know, that's really good. But it's the holidays, you know. So my aunt's been getting like lifts out from her friends every now and then, and what they've been doing is she's been picking up some stuff. So there's, you know, cookies and crap and stuff I don't need to eat, you know. I've been at a 6'3 on that ACI1 thing, you know, my diabetes thing. I think I'm almost expected to shoot up over the holidays, plus the new drug. I got to find out what the new drug does. Although, apparently, this is really kind of interesting. I think I mentioned I was getting it on samples, you know, this Latuda stuff. And I think it's actually recommended for bipolar people, folks, Ken, who are diabetic. So I might be able, if she writes it up correctly, I might be able to get it as an actual prescription, which would make me feel a little bit better so I can go to pharmacy and get it. Which means I could cancel appointments with her at will, which I generally don't. I keep all my appointments. So let me tell you something. And that's been like a big part of this because I've been kind of nerve-wracked because I got my hearing for SSI on the January 30, you know, and getting my notes all together, you know, getting my doctor's notes all together, I should say, you know, and all the data that my lawyers need in order to make an efficient case for me, you know, has been like a little nerve-wracking, you know, on because some people got it and some people, well, now I'm asking every doctor when I see him, I go, did you get the request for the records? Did you send them, you know? And most of that stuff's handled through a records department, so it's not even really them, per se. It's not like, oh, make it happen. It's more along the lines of bureaucracy at work again. But I'm telling everybody, you know what? I've been going 2.5 years. I've been doing everything that everybody's been telling me to do. I went to friggin' Bowtie. I got toxed out on friggin' lithium, like a lithium overdose. You know what I mean? I've blood, sweat, and tears to get these notes together. So you people have to get them to my fucking lawyer. That's it. I mean, there's just no, I'm not having it. You know, I did my part of the job. I showed up. I did what you said. Now you have to get those notes, which are entirely pertinent to what my lawyer needs to present to SSI in order for me to have a chance of actually getting this thing, you know? So everybody's like, yeah, we'll make it happen. Don't worry. So it's like, okay, great. You know, I got my counselor leaving. Actually, Thursday would be my last session with my current counselor, and that's heartbreaking for me, obviously. I really, she's lined up another counselor for me at that same organization, but out in another part of town, actually where we do our grocery shopping in Coventry. And it's like, what I need to do is, I think, because I have several different numbers on this individual, I want the guy who I had when I originally came in 2 years ago. He left to go on to a different organization, different position. I'm going to see if I can track him down this week. I have a few phone numbers. And if I could get him and he winds up taking the insurance, I'm going to go with him. Because one, he's in Cranston, which is local to me. And two, I had a really good rapport with the guy. And it was actually the first male counselor I ever had. I've had a lot of counseling in my life, which some of you may be surprised. You know, because I'm all broken and toxic and whatnot. So I, I'm hoping to get him and not have to worry about, going out to Coventry, but we'll see. Either way, we'll see how it shakes out. We've been using the car for like little, I'm going to do that now. People from New York are going, he sounds like car, you know, he never used to sound like that. So it's really funny. We've been making little short hops. We've been doing, I think we did grocery shopping last night, which we've been doing by Peapod. And I think I got better value for my money actually going into Stopping Shop. And we did laundry on Thursday, a whole massive amount of laundry threw it in the car. And it does overheat, but you get to that spot and it cools down and the weather's been kind of cool. So cold even, it's cold here. As some of you may know, in the Northeast or even elsewhere. So we've been making little hops with it, and it's been working out, which is really good because I walked to a couple of, with my back, it's horror show, but I walked to a couple of appointments over at my place for counseling and whatnot, and I don't want to have to do it again. I think it was even snowing on Thursday. Yeah, it was. There was little squalls. I think call them squalls around here. Little snow showers came through. It was like midnight that we actually went out to do the shopping. And Dunkin' Donuts, a little Dunkin' Donuts over there was closed. I was upset. I had to get McDonald's coffee, which is like, eh, let me crack open my Diet Dr. Pepper. I just brushed my teeth. Wonderful. So, yeah, we got big doings going on around here. The producer is having her knee replaced on the 20th of December. So once that happens, I'm going to start to have to take over a lot of what's going on in the house, which is fine. You know, the cooking and the cleaning and whatever else that needs to be done, I'll be doing, which is good because even after she rehabs her knee, which hopefully won't take too long, I should be doing that stuff anyway, which gives her more time to do other things, which is really, you know, really important, actually. So I'm kind of bracing for that, I guess. And I just confirmed tonight that I'll be going down to New York for the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, and the 7th. I'll be leaving on Friday, and I'll be coming back on Monday, basically, is what it means. But I'm going down there for the staff dinner, which I have not done, and I can't remember the last staff dinner I was at. Probably the one, probably 2001, I think, if I remember correctly. So what is that, 17 years? And hopefully there'll be some people there that I haven't seen in a while. You know, it's hard to nail people down, but supposedly, allegedly, there's supposed to be people there who I have not seen in a long time who I really want to. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also kind of scared shitless about having to make the trip to New York. I already booked on Greyhound, and obviously I know New York City well enough, so, you know, get into New York on Friday afternoon. I know how I have to get to the 11L R&I facility in Staten Island. I know how to do that. But I'm scared. I mean, I find myself, you know, I'm praying again. For those of you who are interested in such matters, I am praying again. I am talking to God. I'm scared. I find myself kind of, I guess I'm saying that twice within the last 30 seconds, but I am. I find myself scared. I find myself looking at a future that I try to focus right really on the now. I haven't had the luxury to think about the future in a very long time. And I find myself really focusing on the now and maybe on the past a bit too much, obviously. I think people would agree with that. But I'm so now I find myself where I'm looking at the future and I get, like, frightened. I really honestly do, because I don't know what the future holds for me. In the long-term sense, you know, in the, like, oh, sensing one's mortality kind of thing. It's like, you know, beyond that, I'm not necessarily talking about, oh, what's going to happen when I die. I'm talking about what's going to happen between now and when I die is basically what I'm getting at. And it's frightening. I don't know how many people admit that. You know, I don't know how many people think about that. And, you know, I find myself in not-so-great security situation as far as any, you know, at any given moment. And I guess I'm just, that's why I live in a moment. That's why I really haven't had the luxury to think about, oh, you know, people talk about, like, retirement and such. I guess I've been retired, you know. Even if I get this SSI, it's great that I'm locking down my medical, because I do have stuff that ails me. My back, obviously, has been a major problem. Obviously, my mental health, as they say, has been, you know, not so good. And that stuff that's not going away. So I'm concerned. I mean, you know, I'm still, like, not really asking God for stuff for myself. I'm still more asking God for stuff for other people. And I think I'm going to have to start asking God for stuff for myself pretty soon. It wouldn't be the first time. But who knows? I mean, I don't really know. Like I said, I don't have any long-term plans in regards to anything. And like I said, I guess that's kind of catching up with me. I almost feel, and I don't know whether it's the new drugs or whether it's the collection of drugs, or how the drugs are interacting with one another, it's really difficult to say. But I almost feel as if I'm like a passenger in a car. I guess this is how I was describing it earlier tonight. The car is moving, and I fully comprehend the things that I have to do, and I've done some things, so it's not like I'm, you know, moving underwater, which is good, you know. I was feeling like that for a very long time. But I feel like I'm in here somewhere. But the guy who's taking care of business is, like, entirely somebody else. And I don't like that feeling. I don't like the fact that I'm, like, me is kind of disappearing and there's somebody else manifesting, for lack of a better term. I know it sounds strange, but that's how I kind of feel. I feel like I'm just, like, a passenger and whatever's going on. And luckily, it seems that the guy in charge is relatively capable. You know what I mean? I comprehend what's going on around me. I understand what it is that I need to do. I just, you know, looking for that start date, and I've already started, like, you know, there's things I need to do already. Like, I haven't done anything in regards to my infrastructure here. I want to work on the show. Like I said, this year I want the show, you know, coming into 2019, I want the show to be better. And I guess I said that last year, but I mean, better this year. And I have to look at the components that I've used to present this program in the last 2 years and change, and figure out what worked and what didn't, and then put them all together into one stretch, so that I can, you know, turn out the best thing that I possibly can. Because this is still the thing that grounds me at this point in time. Getting my butt into this chair on Saturday. Like I said, I'll have other things to do that'll keep me busy, but that's for the other guy to worry about. You know, this is me. I'm still in here, and this is where you hear me. The other guy, the other me. It sounds crazy. The other me is what's taking care of everything else. You know, this is me, my space, right here in this chair every Saturday. So I have to look and see what worked and what didn't. And it's, you know, and I'm talking about examining like the whole 2 years and change, you know, and figuring out what I need to do. And I also want to make whatever little technical changes I need to make. Getting my server over the Linux, I think, is something big that I want to do. I want to mess with my audio chain a little bit. I'm not quite sure what I want to do with that, whether it means a microphone change or processing, probably processing, but definitely a microphone change. See if I can get what I want out of my Beyers, my M88s. If I can't get what I want out of those, then I'm going to have to look at getting another mic, which is a pain in the ass, not for nothing. So there's things, I got like a list of what things that have to happen for the program. And, I don't know if I'd say I'm like, you know, looking forward / excited, but it is some sort of different feeling. It is kind of like, yeah, I mean, I want to get that done. And I just feel to a large degree that I've let things slip. You know, I don't think things have been so bad as I would say, oh, you know, I regret doing the hour, you know, because we're taking the show down to an hour. Like I said, I think come January, I'll be back up to 90. And then I want to work up to two, get back up to, or actually I was never in two, but I want to get up to two territory, because I think I could knock out 2 hours if things were compartmentalized and just in little block sections that I could kind of deal with. Because my major issue with the drugs is that my memory is failing me. I used to be able to walk, I used to be able to read a couple of news stories and walk in here and in, not so much regurgitate, but at least present them in some sort of fashion as to make sense and then provide commentary on them. I know the last two shows I think I had done were, I guess, political shows, political current event shows. I was basically reading articles. And I don't like the dry feeling. It feels dry when I do those shows, or listen to those shows in playback or watch them in playback. They seem a little dry. Now, granted, I'm still providing my commentary, but I just don't like the way that the meat of the show is being presented. I'm not 100% comfortable with it, so I have to kind of figure out what the heck to do about that. It should be an interesting year. I think it's gonna be a year of change. Things are definitely gonna be different. In a lot of ways, it's about time, because I've kind of just been, you know, I'm resting on my laurels. And laurels would be an interesting word to use, considering, I don't know, you know, I get feedback on the program. I don't get a lot of feedback on the program, but I get feedback on the program, and most of it's positive, which is great. And even the stuff that's not positive, it's not really negative. It's just that constructive criticism stuff from people, which You know, it depends on who it is. There's some people that are going to offer criticism. I'm going to tell you know what? Just go fuck yourself. Straight up. You know, I'm not interested in anything you got to say. And then there are going to be people who I trust to some degree. And two, they're going to present it in such a way as, I'm not going to react in an aggressive, defensive manner. You know, people have figured that out about me. Just don't come at me and everything's going to be fine. Just, you know, talk to me like a person. Yeah, we'll see where things are going, but things are definitely going to get change, and it's not going to be like massive change. That's the thing. I think really what I've been making the mistake of thinking that there has to be some sort of like moment. You know, again, I guess it's that white whale and that cathartic moment again. See, I go back to the first show, which is really weird. I'm not looking for that. I'm just looking for just a little tweak here, a little tweak there, and I think I can get to a better place when I am now with the program. As far as myself goes, you know, I'm doing what they're telling me to do, again, always, and I'm taking my meds on the schedule they're telling me to take them on, and I feel, like I said, I don't feel bad. You know, when I was describing that situation of where I feel I'm kind of like a passenger and somebody else is driving, I don't mind it, except for the fact that I feel that I'm diminished in the sense of my intensity isn't there. It's not what it used to be. And that's something that, while in most other areas of my life, as some of you will attest to, has not always been great for them, you know, it drives the engine that drove this program. So what I'm telling you is that the engine that drove this program isn't running. It's not revving as high as it was. It's got a lot of mileage on it. It's going clink, 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 clink. So it needs some work. That's basically what I'm saying. I miss the intensity. And it's very common amongst bipolar people who are on drugs. And I'm on 1, 2, 3, about 4 or 5 now for the bipolar. And they're all mood stabilizers. The intensity winds up going away. You know what I mean? And it's not so. I kind of prided myself on my intensity. You know, it's what people dug about me. You know, now it's disappearing, but that's all right. Like I said, we'll work around it. We'll work around it. It's just a matter. It's almost like you know, I'm still a big NBA fan, and I still watch the Knicks when I can. I should get back into watching them more, quite frankly. But I've been kind of, you know, wrapped up in other stuff. But when players start to get old, even, I guess, even the great Michael Jordan, we can use him as an example, he wasn't as aggressive as he was, but he knew how to pick his spots on the court, and he knew all the tricks of defense so that he wouldn't have to move as much and exert as much energy in order to get the same defensive effort that he always had. It's aging gracefully, you know what I'm saying? It's not, and that's basically what I want to do. You know, I'll be 49 in April, moving in on 50, a lot closer than I want. You know, 50 is going to be like when they start sticking their finger up my ass to see if I'm okay, you know, and that kind of makes me a little like, you know. That's my biggest fear about turning 50, not the whole, oh, I'm 50, but the fucking proctologist with the finger. So that tells you where my head's at, right? So, yeah, it's just a matter of accepting and adjusting and, which I basically, you know, I've always done to one degree or another. I've always adjusted, but the meds change things. They change things greatly. I think I do have something that I want to talk about, but I guess I'll do it on the bottom of the hour. I think I was relatively succinct in where my head's at. I think it's important. Now, I'm not going to be here next week, obviously, because I'll be down for the staff dinner, which I understand is on Saturday. And so I'll be missing next Saturday. I won't be here at all. There'll be nothing. I'll put up something on the site. So just in case those of you who aren't hearing this or listening live or whatever the story may be, will know that next week, there will be no Midwood Files, for a good reason, I suppose. I'll be down, with John Lightning in his studio, which I'm looking forward to. Let me do the, bottom of the hour and then, we'll talk about some other stuff. So. I think I need to do this, and I need to do that.
This is 11L.
RNI. Roofa.
Well, when you're sitting there in your silk upholstered chair, talking to some rich folk at your home. Well, I hope you don't see me with my ragged company. You know I could never be alone. Tear me down, little Susie. Derby day, I'll be in my basement room with a needle and a spoon and another girl take my pain away. Tear me down, little Susie. Tear me down. I know you think you're the queen. Forget to put the roses on your grave.
Mm-hmm. the good talk has gone.
So good.
Radio New York International.
That's right.
With LF Midwood.
Hello there. Yeah, back on the other side. I feel that was that was John Lightning doing an idea. Before that was friggin' 9 Pound Hammer, who I recommend. I like them a lot. Playing what was it? It was Dead Flowers, you know, which is one of my favorite songs actually. But the thing of it is there's so many different covers of it. I think my favorite cover of that would be. My favorite would be New Riders of the Purple Sage off that Home on the Road album, that live album, which I think John Lightning bought for me. I remember that. We were record hunting in New York City, and I forget which place we were in, but I picked it up, and I said, is this album any good? And he's like, yeah, definitely, that's a good album. And he bought, I have to buy that for you. There, take it home and listen to it. So, yeah, so there was that. And I think honorary mention... goes to the, because that's a Stone song, that's a Rolling Stone song. I think honorary mention goes to friggin' the live version with the Mick Jagger did, the Stones did with friggin' Jerry Lee Lewis, who I'm a big fan of. I love Jerry Lee. So yeah, it's a great song in general. There's a couple of real good rockabilly punk versions. I think I've played this. I've played various versions of that song, if I think about it, over the last 2 years. That's probably the song that I've played more different covers of than any other song. Everybody knows Midwood loves a good cover, you know, and I particularly like it if an artist or a band can make it their own. I got a couple more up my sleeve. I think I might end the year. I think the last, I'm not going to be here, like I said, I'm not going to be here next week, so I'll be here the week after that. Let me look at the 11L calendar. What is it, the 9th? Yeah, it's the 9th. So I'll be not here the 16th, but I'll be here the 23rd and the 30th. So I got 2 weeks before the end of the year where I will still be here. You know, what I wanted to talk about is, like, I guess it's really no big deal, but I guess it requires some sort of explanation. A lot of you know that I've always had an interest in the occult. You know, I picked that up somewhere along the way. As they say, and you know, I've done a fair amount of reading. I've got a fair amount of books on the occult. Lost a lot of stuff, but I still have some stuff. Look over there, because that's where my books are. So I mean, I have a basic understanding of things, you know. And I watch various television shows, I guess is what it comes down to. And I've always been a fan of Supernatural. I wound up binge watching it. I don't think I started watching it until like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but I think they're in their 13th season, so I had to binge watch on Netflix to catch up with it, which I did. And I'm always, and they're in their 14th, I think they're at the end of their 13th or their 14th season, which is pretty cool. I think they're the longest running fantasy / supernatural show in television, scripted show in television right now, which is actually pretty cool. You know, and I've watched them so long that I kind of, you know, their version of what the supernatural and is and the paranormal is kind of like, okay. I mean, I know when I compare it to, like, what I know to be what's thought of as correct, true and correct over the millennia, I guess, because that's how long that stuff's been around, longer than that, quite frankly. I'm kind of like, all right, I'm relatively comfortable with, you know, all right, so that's not quite right, and that's not quite right, right? So they kind of each show kind of creates its own mythology, for lack of a better word. I mean, the X-Files did it too, not for nothing, which was, like, interesting. So you see all these, like, interpretations of it, you know? Lately, I've been watching, because we didn't really have anything to binge watch. The producer and I like to binge watch something. You know, we just like stuff we haven't seen or stuff that maybe we have seen that was really good that we'll watch again. And I was reluctant to do Breaking Bad again, which is like one of my favorite shows. Battlestar Galactica, which I've done, or Lost. Those are the top three that I've probably seen those shows collectively, probably close to 12 times, over a dozen times in regards to like combinations thereof, not each of them. So I was like, you know what I mean? Because we like to watch movies. After the day is done, we like to relax, either watch a movie, watch a couple of TV episodes, and we need fodder. We need, you know, stuffed logs to keep the fire going, you know? So she's like, oh, would you want to see, like, the Vampire Diaries? And I was like, well, it seems kind of chickish, first of all, and it seems kind of high school chickish at that, you know? And she's like, well, but it's good. It gets it's okay when it starts, and it gets better. And it has been getting better. It's an interesting storyline. I mean, I'm not saying that's like it's horrible or nothing. But, again, I started thinking about it last night, where the idea of they have their own mythology as well, too. And it kind of like, I guess it really doesn't matter in the sense of most people aren't in a situation where they are even thinking about the paranormal or supernatural unless it's presented to them in some sort of fictional backdrop, you know, whether it be the one that was on HBO, True Blood, which had pretty good production value, I might add, True Blood, or The Vampire Diaries, or Supernatural, The X-Files, you know, they could differ because most people don't view this stuff as real. that's the best way to put it. So it's all like some sort of fictional interpretation. Well, one, I think it's real. That's the first thing. And two, there's been enough research into these things by people. There's been enough, you know, investigation over the hundreds of years, of the millennia, like I said, you know, where it's kind of like, yeah, you know what I mean? This stuff's, I have 100%, you know, the paranormal I'm always a little shaky on because I've never really seen anything that would qualify as what I would consider to be legitimate evidence of the paranormal. But the supernatural, you know, at least in regards to the demonic, I make that perfectly clear all the time. You know, the demonic is at work all the time. And the angel, the angelic, is certainly at work all the time. And as far as I'm concerned, they're not that much better than the demonic. You see an angel, you better run in the other fucking direction, man. Because basically what we know of angels is, you know, nothing good happens when, I know I'm repeating this, but nothing good happens when an angel shows up. Except maybe, you know, the Annunciation to Mary. You know, that went pretty well as for with Gabriel and whatnot. But after that, I mean, look, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that didn't go very well, right? I mean, you know, that's just one example. So I think these things are kind of, one, I think they're taken lightly. So I kind of resent, and this is the church's fault too, and I know I've talked about this. When I say the church, everybody knows when he says the church, he means like, you know, he means the Roman Catholic Church, you know. I know there are other churches and other, you know, there are other Christian denominations, but I have to ask them, like, you know, who founded your church? And if the answer isn't Jesus Christ, well, then what are we really talking about, right? Think about that. But yeah, and a part of me, some small part of me is like, everybody likes to be entertained. You know, everybody likes to be scared. I know I was a big Stephen King guy for a long time until he had that near-death head injury. And when he came back, like, entirely different, by the way, not for nothing. But I was big on King for a long, long, long time. And so everybody likes to be scared. I get that. And I understand the idea of entertainment. And I understand the idea of, you know, certainly Hollywood and the idea of, if not glorification, you know, it's almost like with the guns thing. You know, Hollywood goes and this is now movies and television, you know, and print media, I suppose, although that's not exactly Hollywood. But look how much of that winds up getting transferred over to production, movie or television production. Like, I think The Vampire Diaries are written by somebody that started out as a book or a series of books. And I know True Blood did for sure. And I know in Supernatural, they've been on so long, they actually spoofed the fact that there were books written about them, the Winchesters, which was actually pretty funny. I think my favorite episode, as a little break, a little side note, I think my favorite episode of Supernatural is when they break through and they're actually behind the scenes. Dean and Sam are actually breakthrough, and they're behind the scenes shooting an episode of Supernatural. So they've now possessed the bodies of the actors that play their characters, and it was really trippy. I really enjoyed the shit out of that. Just the fact that they had kind of broken through, I think they had gone through a window, they literally had gone through a broken window, and the next thing they know, they're actually on a production set. Which is like, wow, you know? And I got to say, I've smoked marijuana. I had like 2 puffs of weed in the last 10 years. So it's not like when I say like, wow, and, you know, trippy, I don't mean like I was on drugs. I mean, it was like I was perfectly straight and I was looking at this and I was comprehending this and I was like, wow, this is brilliant. This is really, really, really good writing. And that show's been on so long that it goes through lulls and then it picks up again. And there's always a, you know, very much like The X-Files, because a lot of people who were involved with the production of The X-Files were originally involved with the production of Supernatural. So there's that big arc, you know, and then like what you could refer to as the mythology episodes of X-Files. I know I'm getting a little geeky here, but the mythology episodes of X-Files. And then there's the monster episodes of X-Files, which don't necessarily have anything to do with the larger storyline. So Supernatural is very, very similar in that degree. So it's a really interesting show. I don't regret watching it. I never watched Charmed because it was too chickish. I think my side note's over, but anyway, I never watched Charmed because it was too chickish. It just was like, you know, again, I almost find it like the Vampire Diaries, but the Vampire Diaries at least are, there's more male, solidified male characters that I can identify with to one degree or another. And I think Charmed got a reboot, but all those girls are brown, so I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? They should have renamed it Santeria or something, and maybe they would have had a bigger audience for that. Yeah. I just like I said, just to get back on my main track, I think a lot of this stuff, obviously, and it's just like metal music. You know, when we talk about the idea, there's so much satanic, and there's a fair amount of satanic and demonic in metal music. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves by the least denomination. You know, it's crazy if you're thinking that. I guess to some people, it's just entertainment, and there's no big deal, and you know, they enjoy it for what it is, which is you know, I would presume the way it's being presented is theater, you know, and that brings us to like things like LaVey. I love LaVey. Everybody knows I love Anton LaVey, and his atheistic presentation of Satanism, which is interesting. Again, no, not worshiping a particular deity. And again, I would like to point out in Anton LaVey's defense, as much as he might have been a pathological liar, I like to point out in his defense that he never publicly claimed to be worshiping a deity called Satan or the devil or any of that stuff, which is why Michael Aquino split off and did the Church of Set. I know I've talked about this before. I don't want to get back into it. But yeah, you know, so as long as it's done theateristic and as long as there are people being able to put it in perspective, that's great. But there are people who aren't. That's my whole point. There are people who are in some way are inspired on some degree. And even if it just opens up a little crack for the demonic to do their work, then it happens. And I'm aware of things. I like to think that I've never, you know, whatever I've done, whatever I've engaged in, I could never blame the devil for it. I could blame God and my bad brain chemistry. Maybe my brain chemistry makes me a little bit more aware or acutely aware of things. That could be entirely true because I'm operating on a different frequency on a certain level. So yeah, but I just, as someone, like I said, and I'm going to tie it back into that little bow, as someone who has done a fair amount of, I guess you would call it research. I guess I'm reasonably comfortable with that term. I'm far from it. I don't consider myself to be an expert. But I know when I see certain things that it's like, well, that's not how it is, or that is how it is. That's, you know, that's not how it's supposed to be. That is how it's supposed to be. You know, because becoming Christian and having basically joined up and signed up with the other side, which is, I guess, maybe the most accurate thing for me to describe myself as, I'm not. You can't sit here, you know, I couldn't sit here and say, oh, none of this stuff exists. I mean, it would be entirely idiotic for me to do that. If anything, I think it's important to have a grasp and understanding on what you're up against on a daily basis. Because, yes, it is a daily basis. I think Satan does his best every day to try and lead souls astray. I believe that 100%. And I think it's up to us to be aware of what it is and recognize what these things are, what these quote-unquote temptations are, and what they aren't, really, honestly. You know, because you can't really blame everything on the devil is what it comes down to. I think I had said that momentarily ago. I think that there are some things that are what they are, and I think there are other things that are the work of the devil. You know, I've been accused at points in my life of being doing the work of Satan. And I find that amusing. I just, you know, again, well, could you do it like inadvertently, I suppose? I don't know. I mean, I've always been purposeful. Purposeful? I just made a word. Purposeful. In what I've done and how I presented myself. And I don't, In recent years, don't believe that I've done anything that would be considered the work of the devil. I don't think I pose a threat to anyone who knows me. You know what I'm saying? I really honestly don't. I think the biggest thing and what people get caught up in is just the idea of temptation, you know? And it's like, oh, I'm not going to eat that chocolate sundae, you know? I'm so tempted to eat it, but I'm not going to. And then, you know, it's like, oh, the devil is going to make you eat that chocolate sundae. And it's like, you know what? Grow the fuck up. The devil's not going to make you eat a chocolate sundae, right? The devil's not going to make you talk to someone that you think you shouldn't be talking to. The devil's not going to do little inane things. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a, and you could obviously say, yeah, but it's always the little things, and then it's a slippery slope, and I get that. I agree with that to a certain degree. But there comes a point in time where we have to start acting like adults, and I think I'm at that point. I think I'm at that point. And I, like I said, I get, I'm not, you know, I'm not even going to say I get offended when I see it depicted in media. I almost get offended when I see it depicted in media inaccurately. How's that? That would be the best way to put it. You know, like the idea of like what a devil's trap, you know, what the fuck is a devil's trap? You know what I mean? The idea of, you know, and I guess it's just some things are just, you know, names are changed, and you know, the idea of like you would do a summoning and you would be inside the circle and you would be protected because you're inside the circle from what it is you summoned. All right. I get that to a degree. I get the usage of salt, but there's, you know, I was watching something on I think it was, it had to be Vampire Diaries, right? Where somebody had drawn a line. It was a line of salt, and that was there, and there was some sort of barrier that they couldn't cross. And I'm like, you know, it's like almost like it winds up being like a combination of things. It winds up, and that's what it, I guess really what it is that the people in the production winds up, you know, picking and choosing what they think works most for their production is what they're trying to convey, you know? So you have like a cherry-picked kind of thing that's depicted, and you see some stuff that's perfectly legit, and then you see other stuff that's just totally asinine. And to me, I look at it and I'm like, well, that's crazy. That's 100% crazy. I think the biggest thing in all of this is personal responsibility. And I think I alluded that there with the idea of, well, I'm being tempted by the devil. And it's like, you know what? You take personal responsibility for yourself. And that's not going to happen, because the opposite, the devil just wants the opposite of personal responsibility. He wants people who aren't going to be personally responsible for themselves, who aren't going to be aware of what's going on. You know, it's ignorance that makes, you know, ignorance and stupidity actually is the work of the devil, without a doubt. You know, and they say, oh, well, idle hands, and yeah, to a certain degree. But I find ignorance and stupidity. If you know what's going on, and you know what not to do, and you can, you know, you can, like, again, oh, I can listen to heavy metal music, but I can't be tempted by a sundae, by a chocolate sundae, you know, it's, you know, come on. You know, and a lot of people my age are into metal. I mean, you know, it was, I think, obviously, with the big metal scene bursting out into the late 70s, into the 80s, huge for my generation. I guess it would be X, you know. I guess prior to that, you could arguably say the boomers would Sabbath, because Sabbath kind of overlap to a degree, but I think most of you get what I'm saying. Most of the people my age get what you're saying, you know, or get what I'm saying. So I just find it interesting, you know. Do I think that it shouldn't be depicted? No, I don't. I'm not saying I don't think it should be depicted. I've got no problem with theater and entertainment. I guess I have, you know, I have issue with the way it's presented, I guess, maybe. You know, sometimes it's campy and comical, which is still funny, but, you know, it's just, I think it shouldn't be taken lightly. That's the best way. No matter how it's presented, it shouldn't be taken lightly, because any given depiction of something is just waiting for an ignorant or stupid person to be walking down the street, and then there you go. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure whether I've made myself clear, but it is. I just find it really interesting. I was watching it, and I was like, it's almost like I'm turning into comic book man from The Simpsons, you know, like, ooh, totally horrible depiction, worst depiction ever, you know. It's like, I don't know, I guess I'm getting old, but, you know, being aware is really the big thing. That's what it comes down to, you know. You can't be tricked, you know. And, you know, every now and then you should eat the sundae. That's basically what I'm saying, you know? Like, you know that? Eat the sundae. Eat the goddamn sundae. The sundae's not going to hurt you. Sundae's not going to hurt you. God damn it. Anyway, I think I'm gonna get out of here. I'm looking at the clock, and it's getting close. So again, I won't be here next week. I'll be here the week after that, but I'll put something up on the site to notify you that I won't be here and that there won't be a show, so you know, people will go look to download, won't get confused. I ask you to head over to lfmidwood.com. That's lfmidwood.com, and there's over here, there's my social media, which is actually, you know, my social media is very important to me. So if you're out there and you're using any of these platforms, it would really be kind of cool. If you let me know that, you know, send me an invitation to whatever one it is, and I would, you know, gladly participate. Or vice versa, if you're not using any of it and you've given some thought to, oh, well, what's Facebook all about? I'll bombard you with right-wing propaganda, no problem. It's like I do with everybody else, you know. Anybody listening to the show would know the deal, so I don't have a problem, you know, doing that. There's other people I'm, like, hesitant. It's like, oh, I know them, or they're, like, the friend of a friend, but I don't know their political proclivities. So I don't want to spam. I'm not interested in spamming anybody. So, but anybody who listens to this show knows the deal. So, yeah, support me via social media. That would be totally, totally awesome. Archives are available, and that's it, you know. Let's see. What do I need to do here? I need to do this. And, again, I need to remind you, don't get in the van until you've seen the candy. Night, folks.
Weep for yourself, my man. You'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man, you're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and wreck yourself, take all of the courage you have left. Wasted on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head. But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time. Didn't I, my dear? Tremble for yourself, my man. You know you have seen this all before. Scores. You're going
been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.
RNI.